Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. David Levithan has successfully done what so many have failed to do in his novel, Every Day. He has captured the very essence of the human condition. Levithan created A's life and tied it to thousands of others, putting his characters to the test as they try to make sense of A's odd and one solitary existence.
The idea definitely started with the idea of what would your life be like if you did wake up every morning in a different body and different life and had been doing this since birth. And for me, there were two questions that guided the book from the beginning. From A's point of view, I mean, it's easier to call A he, but really A has no gender, has no race, has no parents because, again, switches lives every day. And so it was fascinating me to sort of say, well, what kind of person would you be if your body did really change every day? And then from the point of view of Rhiannon, the girl that A meets, could you actually fall in love with somebody who changed every day? And as much as I would love to say that I this all figured out in my head when I started, I really wrote the book to answer those two questions.
And it's a great question, because what person hasn't wished they were somebody else?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you really, if you start to think about it, it's sort of how much are you defined by the way you look, and how much are you sort of defined by an inner definition that really has nothing to do with the body that you're in. It's a fascinating question.
You had said that how can Rhiannon love A because of how he changes from body to body. And that was one thing I was noticing in the book. I got this feeling about Rhiannon thinking, you are so shallow sometimes. How can you do that if you are supposed to love him? And right. I started to dislike her more and more the more that she met A in the different bodies.
Well, but I think in her defense, I mean, I think you want love to conquer all and love to be that easy. But I think, oh my goodness, putting myself in her shoes, I mean, having to deal with a different body every day, I mean, it is such a test of love. It is such something to put yourself, again, not just in A's shoes, but in her shoes. And you do have to ask yourself, like, what would I do? I mean, as anybody who's sort of dealt with a partner who's changed something about them, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Is this what I got into? You've gained 25 pounds. You're not the person I fell in love with. I mean, this is like a radical version of that. And again, I think our society constructs love along such lines that there are very few people from the get-go who'd be willing to say, I love you whether you're a boy or a girl, I love you whatever race you are, I love you whether you're fat or thin. I think it takes a lot to get there. And of course, for Rhiannon, she has to deal with it very, very early in the relationship.
That's true. I didn't think of it like that. Being an outsider, obviously, I can think, well, it's exciting to wonder what he or she will end up being the next time I see that person.
Yeah, no, that definitely is that too.
No, it's interesting. At one point in the book, A says, the only way I can navigate through my life is because of the 98% that every life has in common.
No, absolutely. And I think that was something, again, it was interesting while writing the book and putting A in these different bodies to really, again, the tendency would be to make all of them radically different, to say, oh, yes, when you are whatever, an African-American boy living in a single-parent family, you have such a radically, radically different life and self than, whatever, a well-off white girl who's living with both parents in the suburbs. But the truth of the matter is, when you think about it, I mean, certainly as far as circumstances, they can be different. But when it comes to self, I think there is so much massively more in common than there are differences. We just tend to fixate more on the differences. And so writing A in these characters certainly made me realize that more. And I think that became sort of a through line for the book.
It does. It seems to the reader that you as the author have such a good grasp on the human condition.
Well, goodness. I wish I had as good a grasp in living life as I do in writing about it. But again, it was an interesting perspective to put myself into, because I think in a way, writing a character who does not have all of this baggage, you do put yourself in a much more self-directed space than you can in your real life. That I obviously can't suddenly detach myself from my body and be more of a girl one day, or, oh, try be raised as a Christian this day, or whatever change in demographics may happen when the body and the life changes. I obviously can't do that in real life, but when you sort of put yourself in the headspace it puts you in a different mindset when looking at the world and looking at how different people are.
And there are some rules that A has, in the sense that rules that he knows just occur because he has been going through this for the past 16 years since he was an infant, and that's that he's always in a body that is the same age that he is, and that he knows he has taken over this person's body, and he can kind of recall what is going on in that person's life so he can assimilate into that person's daily goings-on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a balance. I mean, I think especially sort of knowing how much A will know when in the body, and I think that was something that I really had to figure out. The notion of being able to access information, almost as if every person is a computer and you're sort of loading up files and reading, that you get information, but you wouldn't really get feeling, and that the feeling part and the self part is what A, sort of how A inserts his self, herself into the body, but still have some sort of points along the way to guide himself or herself. And I think that was an interesting balance to sort of figure out, okay, how much of you would you leave behind if somebody else took over your life for a day?
A is very respectful of the bodies that it inhibits. He or she will not abuse the body, will not do something that is too defiant of it, except for after he meets Rhiannon. And that really is the turning point for him or her.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, if you go through your life like that, I mean, there are certain ways, and I think A suddenly is thinking about this a lot in the course of the book, that if you did take over somebody's life and body for a day, I mean, you could so easily be destructive. I mean, you could play around. You could really cause unimaginable degrees of havoc because there is no consequence. I mean, the next day, you're somebody else. You will never, whatever horrible things you do in one body, you are absolved by waking up in somebody else's body. And so it was an interesting thing to see about how important your moral compass would be then, and that A is clearly somebody whose moral compass is in the right place or is calibrated in the right way insofar as A believes that basically in being a very good house guest, that when you're staying over in somebody's life and body, you have to make sure everything is in the same place when you leave it, and make sure it's clean, and make sure you haven't destroyed anything or left any carpets burning. But instead of sort of on a house level, it's on the body and the life level. And I think at the beginning, before A meets Rhiannon, A is very respectful and believes this, but you do get a sense that part of this comes from not having a connection to anybody else, that A has gone through life sort of being the good house guest, but not really having a life of his or her own because that's when things get messy. And I think when A falls in love, as love tends to do to people, it does make what is an orderly life sort of lived by certain rules and a moral compass, it makes it much messier and much more complicated.
It certainly does, and it wreaks havoc on A at one point when A is in the body of a boy named Nathan. Things start to go downhill quite quickly.
So when in Nathan's body, just goes and sort of pushes beyond the rules and the limits of what A usually does in order to see Rhiannon, which, again, it's sort of the impulsive things we do for love, and you think, oh, this isn't the best idea, but I have to see her. I have to do this. And A pushes it and then doesn't even think that the actions will have consequences because, again, A is used to there not being consequences. But for whatever reason, Nathan is really the first person that he knows of who sort of wakes up the next morning and knows something has happened. And suddenly, because of a slip-up on A's point of view, suddenly A actually has to confront and be drawn back in by somebody whose body A has been in, which does complicate things significantly.
And A is finally given a glimpse into what is left behind once he or she is gone from the body, and that's on day 6004. And,
right.
And A keeps track of it. That's the lovely way about how your chapters are separated. It is the day that A has been alive and what body A is in.
Yeah, and it was very important to me that I didn't outline, I didn't plan ahead. I didn't know from chapter to chapter which body A would be waking up in. because I really wanted it to be as close to A's experience as possible, that A would not have any forethought, would have no knowledge of what the next bed would be and the next life and body would be. And I tried to play it that way too. So it was interesting that sort of I gained the insight as A was doing it, certainly, but it lent itself very nicely to that kind of chapter structure.
Oh, that's interesting how you did that, because it's so seamless at the same time, because of course A does remember what bodies he or she is in, but at the same time, with the way the story progresses, it seems as if you have purposely selected different bodies for A to be in to help drive the story.
Well, I'm glad it seems deliberate. I always love having the illusion of organization in life and as well as in writing. But yeah, I mean, I think that was the challenge, though, was to try to find a through line in anybody, that really it could, whatever body came up or whatever sort of instinct hit when that new chapter started, that was the challenge, was to sort of figure out what was in common and how it would be consistent. And I think that's one of the reasons why, I mean, you sense A, even though A's circumstances are so different from chapter to chapter, hopefully A's voice is a through line throughout, that there's never any doubt that A is inside of these bodies, and you get to discover them at the same time that A is discovering them, and it just happened that the author was discovering them at the same time as well.
Now, do you have any tidbits on where A is headed now?
I don't want to give anything away as far as the ending or where the future may be. I certainly have some thoughts of how I could continue as an author to be in the world of A, but they are very small thoughts right now that may grow into something else. Who knows?
Really? You didn't plan out to make this have a sequel or a trilogy or a quad?
I mean, it is, for the first time, I certainly, usually, as some of my co-authors for other books will attest, I am a very strong proponent of when a book is done, it's done. And people ask, oh, well, what happens with the story? What happens with the character? I'm like, I don't know. The book's done. This was probably the first that I've written where definitely I felt myself planting seeds for later exploration if I wanted to explore later. So it was not written deliberately to be part of a trilogy or part of a two-book or to go on ad infinitum, but certainly it would not surprise me if it did go on from there. Again, without giving away anything.
Well, whether or not you decide to continue it, it is a wonderfully written and beautiful book. The name of it is Everyday. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Again, the name of David Levithan's novel is Everyday. It is published by Knopf. You can meet Levithan along with four other authors on Saturday, October 7th at Oblong Books at 4 p.m. in Rhinebeck, New York. For more information and to RSVP, you can go to oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.